Do you recoil in horror at the thought of making a meal plan? Here on episode 6 of the Sugar Addict Coach podcast, I'll teach you a whole new way to think about and make a plan that you won't fail at. Hello, my sweet friends. Today, I'm excited to teach you about planning because I really think it is a game changer for people. But I also know that we've all tried a bunch of specific diet plans that haven't worked for us, and we are tired of all that. So I'd like to call this preparing, or think about it as preparing instead of planning. And I'd like you to think of the plan as a gift you are offering to yourself. And I know a lot of you have resistance to making a plan and sticking to it. A lot of people believe it's hard, it's restrictive, it's not spontaneous. They tell themselves they've never been able to stick to a plan in the past, or that it sucks to not be able to be spontaneous. It sucks the fun out of life if you're not spontaneous. But really, a plan is just a list of words on a piece of paper, and it can't make you feel anything, especially if you make a plan or prepare in the way I teach you. It's just a few words that help you, that actually support you, and that allow you to use your brain to think about more important things than food. Yes, some think a plan makes them feel dread or helplessness or anger or like rebellion. But I also want to point out that for others, being prepared like this inspires excitement, calm, and even delight. I mean, we all know people who love to make plans and keep them, right? So these plans are just words on a page, and we decide how we feel about those words. And I'd really like to help you think about the plan differently. Just think about if someone gave you a plan, gave you a piece of paper with a plan on it, and the plan was to go on a dream vacation, and it detailed quite strictly you had to show up at the airport at a certain time, you had to pack certain breezy outfits, you had to take a taxi to a certain hotel, you were going to go jet skiing on a certain day, go to the beach on a certain day, go hiking on a certain day. These are all planned out meticulously for you. And assuming that you love an adventurous beach vacation like I do, and if that isn't your dream vacation, just imagine yours, are you going to rebel? Are you going to say, oh, that's too hard, it's so restrictive, I need to rebel? It really sucks the fun out of this whole vacation if I have to be at the airport at a certain time, and I have to stay at a certain hotel, and we have to get our massage appointments at a certain time. No, you would most likely think this is an amazing gift. Oh my goodness, I can't wait. This is going to be so fun. This plan is going to make it possible for me to have the most amazing vacation. And so you love that plan. If somebody took the plan away, you'd be pissed. You'd be like, give me my plan back. I need to know when I need to get to the airport and what's my flight number and what's the hotel's address. Give that plan back right now. This actually happened to me years ago. My husband won an award at work and we got an all expense paid trip to Hawaii. It was fantastic. And one of the best parts about it was that it was all planned out for us and we just followed the plan. What I felt in the face of that plan was gratitude and excitement and certainty that I'm going to have a great time. My job was to have a great time inside this plan. Even though there were a few things about the trip that weren't exactly what I would have picked. But you are the one who will be making your food plan for yourself. You have ultimate control. So I want to teach you how to make a plan for yourself that isn't strict or mean to yourself or exhausting. You're going to use the feelings, gratitude, excitement, and certainty when you create a plan for yourself for consuming sugar, especially the gratitude part. So I love making a plan because it allows my brain to calm the heck down when it comes to food. My brain can distract me all day about that. What should I eat? When should I eat it? Is it time to eat now? If I eat this now, what will I eat later? What am I going to eat for dinner? Should I eat one serving or two? And this is a big one. If I'm going to eat this, am I going to feel guilty? But when I have a plan about what I'm going to eat and I write that plan with love for myself, not in a vindictive, vengeful, that's all you deserve kind of a way. Then all that annoying stuff going on in my head can quiet right down because I know what's coming and actually I can look forward to it. Look forward to what I'm going to eat, even if it isn't the sugar I've always depended on. And that's how I make it a gift that I give myself. The gift of being able to concentrate on anything besides food. I don't need that constant distraction of always thinking about food, you know? I'm trying to record a podcast here. I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to be the happiest, most fulfilled Helena I can be. And thinking about food so much really distracts from that for me. Now, I'm not blaming myself for always thinking about food. I'm always trying to be compassionate with myself. Of course, that's been my habit of over-desire thinking about food for a long time. So I understand where all those thoughts are coming from. I'm just using this planning tool to give me some space to calm me down and maybe even allow some of those normal, less than perfect emotions without always needing to eat to distract myself from them. We'll talk about that later. Now, you can still think about food if you enjoy that. You'll know exactly what's on your plan and you can look forward to it. I do, actually. When I make a plan, I don't make a plan where I'm just going to eat kale. Over the last few years, I've really curated a list of special lunches that I look forward to that feel like a treat to me, but also are pretty healthy. Like, I don't know what it was. Like 22-ish years ago, I was in Italy in college. And when I was there, I discovered the caprese salad, and I don't know if it wasn't everywhere in the US or just I hadn't been to fancy restaurants enough. I was in college, right? I was broke. So I felt like at the time you couldn't go to any restaurant and have a caprese salad, or maybe I just never tried one. So I kind of discovered it in Italy and I just loved it. It's tomatoes and mozzarella cheese and basil and usually like balsamic vinegar, or sometimes people do it with pesto. Anyway, all of them are good. All the variations are good. And a couple of years ago, it occurred to me, hey, I can make that at home and eat that for lunch. And so now it's something that I look forward to every time I put it on my plan. Because sometimes we get in this rut where we're thinking, okay, I need to eat healthy. And healthy to me means kale or whatever. Like we have these stories about what healthy is, what healthy means. It means this kind of salad. You know, a lot of women will feel like their lunches are obligatory salads. Maybe I shouldn't have used the caprese as an example because it doesn't have to be a salad. Some days for lunch, I have protein pancakes, and that also feels like a treat to me. They're a little bit sweet because of the protein powder. It's sweetened. It's got artificial sweetener in it. And it's another thing that I can put on my plan that I will look forward to. It's a gift that I give myself. The plan is a gift. So I know what I'm going to eat and I can calm my brain down from all its questions, and I put nice things on my plan. So I say, oh goody, I get to have the protein pancakes. Oh goody, I get to have the caprese salad, or oh, if I can find a tuna steak, that is so yummy. I'm going to look forward to that all day. And I'm not thinking, oh, I have to stick to my plan. So let's talk about how to make a great plan. My two rules for making a plan or preparing. Number one, make it easy. That means making the task of making the plan, it needs to be easy. It needs to take 2 minutes or three so you don't dread or avoid this time-consuming task of planning your food. 2 minutes, okay? Go into your kitchen, look in your fridge, see what you've got in there, and make your plan accordingly. You don't have any food in there? Plan to go get something and write down what you'll buy. Don't take too long. It doesn't have to be perfect. You'll get very good at this within a week, actually, because every day you'll have instant feedback on whether you like that plan, if it worked for you, and if you should change something tomorrow. Remember curious experimentation? Each day, each plan is an experiment for you to learn from, and if you approach it this way, you'll learn a lot very quickly. So make it extremely easy to make the plan. I jotted in my planner for the day. I mean, fast, easy, what am I going to eat? And then the second rule for planning is to make it realistic, uber realistic. So if you usually eat 3 snacks a day, then put 3 snacks on your plan. And I know you're freaking out right now. And I know you're thinking, how is it I'm going to ever get over my sugar addiction if you're telling me to write down the sweet treats that I want? How is that going to help? When you make this plan in the morning or the night before, I want you to be as loving as possible to yourself. I want you to be as realistic as possible for yourself. And I also have faith that you won't put mindless food, the craving, the food that you eat beyond what you want to, you won't put that on there. Let's say you have a big Starbucks for one of your snacks, and then you have another sweet treat, and then after dinner, you're going to have dessert. Put all that on your list. Put it all on your plan. Prepare for all of that. Make it a realistic plan, realistic meaning that you can realistically stick to it. And when you see that written down, you can see, yeah, I can do this. And so when you get to the end of the day and you eat your dessert and you know that you've had your snacks, you don't feel deprived, you don't feel like you have to rebel against yourself, you've been really kind to yourself, you've been very loving, and you're learning to trust yourself. And if you put 5 cookies down and then you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh, I really want more cookies, you can tell yourself, I'll put 10 cookies on my plan tomorrow. But by sticking to the plan you made today and knowing it's an experiment and you're progressing towards trusting yourself and minimizing the mean self-talk, you are going to build confidence. You're going to develop confidence that you will keep commitments to yourself. And that is huge because I know in the past, most of you have made resolutions or promises to yourself and broken them by the end of the day. And that just gives you more evidence that you can't stick to your commitments, that you have no control over sugar. So make that plan as generous as you need to. And when you stick to that plan, celebrate that. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge that the plan was a gift you gave yourself, not out of spite or punishment, but for yourself, that you received that gift with gratitude and delight. So to recap, this plan is to help you quiet all the arguments in your head all day because you know what you're going to eat. You will feel prepared for the day. Rule number 1, make the plan in 2 minutes or so. You do not have to make a super detailed plan. And actually, I don't encourage you to. This just reinforces all that diet culture stuff we've absorbed in the past. You are just going to jot down what you will eat that day. You can be general when you don't know the specifics yet. If I'm going to a restaurant, I might put something like pasta on my plan because I don't know exactly what I'll be eating. Just decide quickly and put it down. Rule number 2, make it as realistic as possible. Create a plan that you know you'll be able to stick to. You're building trust with yourself and learning. When we get to some of the other tools, you'll be able to gently shift your plan to less sugar. But learning how to use a plan in a way that actually helps you is the first step to focus on. So I hope this helps you think about planning in a new way as really preparing for yourself and use it to support your goals, not as a restrictive prison or a fantasy of perfection that keeps you feeling like a failure. Creating success is key, and small steps are so useful, and they're actually doable, and acknowledging your success makes you feel amazing. That's it. Happy planning. So you listen to the whole episode, and maybe you're left wondering, but how does this apply to me, Helena? Glad you asked. Sign up for a free coaching call, and we can talk about it. I work with people one-on-one, and I want to give you a taste of that by actually helping you for 30 minutes. So go to my website, thesugaraddictcoach.com, and get on my schedule. Talk to you soon.